Okay, thank you. Good evening. Good evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the prayer session we had prior to our service this evening, where we approached and addressed a number of different things, people, places, and things, and committed them to you for your keeping, for your help and healing. Those that we lifted before the throne, those who we pray for daily. Thank you for the body of Christ, those who come together for the purpose of learning of, from, and all about you, our dear, precious Savior, Lord Jesus. We are so fortunate to know you and desire that others would know you too. Those who do not know you. And yet it's your desire that all men would know you. You've made yourself available to be known as you came in human form for that very purpose. To reveal God, to exegete him, literally. And that you have done. Thank you for this life of ours. It's a tapestry that you are weaving together in your plan. Though from this side it looks like it's all knots. On the other side, it's a beautiful portrait, picture of Christ and his faithfulness in our lives. We thank you for these things. Bless the message this evening as we learn of Christ once again, who he is, and learn who he isn't, which is just as important in these days of great deception. And as this deception increases and affects more and more people, as the age winds down and as our salvation looms large, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I've entitled the message this evening, I Am, or AI, one of the two. I Am or AI. You know what AI is? Artificial intelligence. It's a big thing today. I was communicating with Tim Hobbs, and I said, I'll never forget the message that you brought at the study, which was phenomenal, about the holograms that will be used by the Antichrist. But this stuff is coming into stark reality in the days that we live in. The message on Sunday on mis and disinformation was confirmed on Sunday night as I was watching TV and 60 Minutes was on. They brought their program on disinformation and deep fakes, they call it deep fakes, and the world of AI, artificial intelligence, and its current state. Now, they said, and this is true, they showed it in great detail, there are people with very appealing appearance and personality, with wonderful speaking voices, with degrees, pedigrees, degrees, and experience, who represent products and causes, and are experts in almost every discipline. The only problem is they don't exist. And they never will. They're artificially produced and concocted people. Holograms, as it were. Or avatars, they call them. Avatars. Anyway, they're the product of AI, artificial intelligence, and are created on demand. There are companies that make these people for businesses that want them to meet certain criteria established by elaborate marketing studies that ensure positive results and guarantee a phenomenal return on investment. It's very expensive to have these companies involved. As we'll see this evening, these things are part and parcel of Satan's plot to rule the world, which God will allow him to do but only for 42 months. But not until he's taken the church into witness protection. After which, all hell breaks loose on the earth. So in order not to be deceived, one must know who the Lord really is. If one knows who Christ is, then he won't be fooled by an antichrist. So who is the Lord? In the Old Testament, YHWH is the sacred tetragrammaton. That is four letters without any vowel points, because there are no vowel points in the Hebrew. They were all removed. Nobody knows how to pronounce the ancient Hebrew. So what we did was we put an E, an O, and an A in Yah, which makes it Yahweh or Yehovah. That's what we did, which is the proper name of the God of Israel, and translated literally, it means I am, which is the covenant name of the Lord, that is the God of Israel and the Savior of the world, who we know is Jesus Christ. It comes from, the word comes from Hava, H-A-V-A-H, which means to be or to exist. Literally, I am. Literally, I am God. And there is no one besides me. I am the eternally self-existent one. Though my name is Yahweh or Yahweh, you know me as Yesu. Jesus, that's Greek, Yesu is Jesus. I-E-S-O-U, Yesu, Jesus in the Greek. But I assure you, I am, one and the same, God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, the creator and redeemer of mankind, the same one who went to the cross, indeed, paid for your sins, rose from the dead, never to die again, and who now lives inside you. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Oh, it's wonderful stuff. Me and Susie were saying that all day today. Galatians 2:20. In this life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's plenary genitive, isn't it, Terry? Plenary genitive. That means it covers all the bases, all the grammar structure, all the parts and tenses of the Greek. By the faith of the Son of God who loved me. He loved me. Gave himself for me. So, he is the one who lives inside us, whose spirit regenerates, indwells, into whom we're baptized, sealed, gifted, filled, and taught. How wonderful is that? He does all these things. Accept no substitutes. The one who hears and answers your prayers, forgives your sins, grants repentance, helps your weakness. This is just a partial list. Heals your sicknesses, provides you with everything that pertains to life and godliness, will never leave you or forsake you, will finish what he has begun, will come to your aid, ever lives to make intercession for you in order to save you to the uttermost. In Hebrews 7:25, I am he. Remember when he said that? They said, who are you looking for? He goes, we're looking for Jesus of the Nazarene. He goes, I am he. When they said it, they fell over. That's John 18:6. And he said, I am he. And they fell backward to the ground. That must have been something to see, huh? I'm sure it was. In the Old Testament, 7,755 times he is Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord. I am. And guess what? I am his witness. So are you. Isaiah 43:10. You are my witnesses. These are the verses used by the Jehovah Witnesses, by the way. And they don't even know who Yahweh is. They think he's God the Father. And he's Jesus. Isn't that strange? It is really strange when you think about it. You see, the whole foundation of their teaching depends upon who Yahweh is, and Yahweh's not God the Father. Yahweh is God the Son, the Lord, Jesus Christ. There's only one Lord, right? One God and Father of us all, one Lord, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. In Ephesians 4, 6, and 7, there's only one, so it must be Him. And guess what? If you believe in your heart, or if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you're saved. Romans 8, 9, and 10. It must be pretty important. For there is salvation in no one else. No one else. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. He's the one that's weaving that tapestry. And you see it as knots on the back when you turn around. It's going to be Him. He did it all. He was born in you, and He's going to be formed in you. That's what the picture is. That's what the tapestry is. From our side, it looks like knots, doesn't it? Did you ever see the back of a tapestry? Nothing pleasant about it or pretty about it. It's all knots. But when you turn it around, there's a big difference. It's a beautiful picture. In this case, of Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, Isaiah 43:10, and my servant whom I have chosen. He's talking to Israel, but Israel, the church, is a step up from Israel at this point in history, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am. That's what he says, that I am. They added he, but I am, that I am. Before me, which there was never a time before he existed, there was no God formed. Before me, there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. Must be only one. Isaiah 43:12, it is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there was no strange God among you, so you are my witnesses. You're Jehovah witnesses, all of you. Declares the Lord, and I am God. Isaiah 44:8. Do not tremble and do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? Or is there any other rock? I don't know of any. Only one. You will say that's a strange, mysterious notion. And indeed it is. Christ, the mystery of God. He is God and there is no other. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's strange and mysterious, isn't it? He's the mystery of God. John 14:7-11. I am is the invisible, or is the visible image of the invisible God. Colossians 1:15. God in the flesh, who is always God, but is now and forever God and man in one person. God became a man and stayed human. Besides being divine, he's human forever. God possesses a human body. Wow. He made man to be like he is. He wasn't made in man's image. Man was made in his image and his likeness for that purpose. To fellowship with God, for friendship with God, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Isn't that wonderful what He's done for us and called us to live? The life He's called us to live? This life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not mine, His. I don't frustrate grace. For if righteousness comes through the works of the law, Christ died for nothing. Galatians 2:20 and 21. He is the only knowable, visible communicable, palpable, that's touchable, relational person of the Trinity, of the triunity that God is. When we look at God in three persons, he's called Elohim. When we look at the Lord, which is the manifestation and the person that is knowable, visible, communicable, palpable, and relational, it is the Lord Jesus. Before, during, and after his incarnation. When he comes for us, we're told we'll see him as he is, a glorified man, and we will be made just like him, all glorious within and without, inside and out. That's what we have to look forward to in Philippians 3:20. We did Galatians 3:20, 2:20. This is Philippians 3:20. He says, for our citizenship, politeuma, is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. Do you believe that's true? Do you believe it? Then live like it. For this purpose, man was created. For this reason, fallen man was redeemed. To be like I am. Bow down before him and worship him, all ye his saints. We know him by learning the scriptures. We honor him by a life well lived, and we please him only by faith. A moment of faith followed by a lifetime of faith. Hebrews 11:33, to the end of the chapter, he talks about those who had remarkable lives by faith, who by faith, listen to what they did. They conquered kingdoms. They performed acts of righteousness. They obtained promises. They shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the power of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. From weakness they were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. All these, having gained approval through their faith, yet they did not receive what was promised because God had provided something better for us. Terry, just stepping on your toes for your next message. Okay. Something better, better, better for us. So that apart from us, they would not be made complete. Waiting for us. And it'll all be complete. It'll all be seen as complete in the church. Committing all of our cares, all of our worries, anxieties, disappointments, hurt feelings, dashed hopes and broken dreams to him. For him to weave into this tapestry of our life and work all things together, resulting in ultimate good that could not result any other way. Did I use the tapestry thing enough? Okay, good. Everything, she said, make sure you use that tonight. I said, okay, honey, I will. Everything occurs for a reason. If you know this, it makes a huge difference in your life. Everything occurs for a reason. If you know this, it makes a huge difference in your life. Whether you feel used or abused, or you have used and abused others, for example, whether you feel cheated or well-treated, the devil is defeated, and you have been completed. And don't make me repeat it. You cheated death. I think Judy taught this not too long ago. You cheated death, and everything else is a bonus. Right, Jude? You got it. Some people don't have any idea what they're here for, and so they settle for a traditional life rather than an extraordinary one, a natural life rather than a supernatural one, a life of chance rather than a life of choice. You know what Joshua said, don't you? Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't care what others choose. They can have the drugs and booze. I will live by God's good news, an offer I cannot refuse. The choices you make will determine the course of your life. You know that, right? What you choose and do today determines what will happen tomorrow in a chain of events, generally speaking. Your good decisions ensure future opportunities. Your bad decisions limit future options. Baggage will slow you down and wear you out. It's too heavy to carry. When you lay it aside, you can get where you're going easily and quickly, without any unnecessary delays or detours. This has been free advice from your pastor, and for this I will not charge you. But what comes next will cost you. If you waste your time and opportunity, if you do not learn to redeem the time in the evil days that we live in, if you fail to cash in or cash out, to buy and bank your salvation assets, you will be a pauper rather than a prince in the end. Then you will opt out and miss out on the most remarkable and glorious future wealth and happiness, and that would not only be unfortunate, but completely unnecessary. You don't need to. That's the plan of God. The plan of God takes care of all those things. You will have missed the whole purpose for which I am created you and implemented a gracious plan for your life. And you will say in the end, like so many will, and we won't even want to hear it anymore, it'll be so commonly uttered and heard, I woulda, I coulda, I shoulda, but I never got around to it. Did you ever have around to it? Dan had some of those, didn't you? Yeah. Round to it. I'm like a round bang in a square hole. It's a round to it. Give me a round to it. I never got around to it. Other things seem so much more important. I spent most of my precious time viewing the half-truths of Satan on the internet and gathering up the leftover scraps of plagiarized insight from social media. Think it's true? I know it is. But now, I see, I was mistaken, misinformed, and disinformed, deep-faked, tricked by AI. What's AI stand for? We said it was, yeah, but now it's another Yesu. Instead of following I am, follow AI. Who is I am, who is the true and living God. Accept no substitute. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, Paul says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled. It's ex apatao. Beguiled. You know what it means? It means conned, deceived, duped, tricked, bamboozled, or hoodwinked. That's what he did. To who? The mother of all living, Eve. He says, but I fear, phobeo, a terrible fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his panorgia, that's what it says, his panorgia, that is his bag of tricks. He got a bag of tricks. I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his panergia, the subtle and deceptive devices of Satan. It means craftiness, cunning, or a specious or fake wisdom. And it's used craftiness, subtlety, cunning craftiness, and a few other ways throughout the scriptures. The only defense or protection from the devices and assault of the enemy is the armor and armament from God. That is the panoply. We got the panorgia of Satan, his bag of tricks, and the panoplia of God, which is the armor and armament. The hoplos, the weaponry of God. Protective armor and weapons of God. Without which, we will be deceived, disinformed, that is intentionally led astray, as so many are today. So he says that your minds should be corrupted away from the haplotes, which is simplicity, or singularity, or exclusivity of Christ. I told you there's only one God, Savior, Jesus Christ. One in whom we are well connected, stay closely connected, like branches in a vine, in a grapevine. So he says, of, belonging only to Christ. Then he says in verse 4, that was 2 Corinthians 11:3, he says, for if he that comes preaching another Jesus, there's another Yesu, AI, artificial intelligence, AI, another Yesu, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, that's another of a different kind, which you have not received, or another gospel of a different kind, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. So here he says, for if indeed one coming preaches another, here the word is allon, A-L-L-O-N, or A-L-L-O-S, allos, which is one word for another. It's another of a similar kind. There are two words for another, allos, another of the same kind, and heteros, another of a different kind. Here, he is a different one of the same kind that's being presented, or one who is supposedly the same, but he is not the same. The problem is there's only one. Yesu, Jesus. There Jesus is similar at first glance, but it turns out he is not the real Jesus. Rather, he is a counterfeit Jesus. He is another Yesu, AI, not I am. Then he says, not the one that we preached. He's not the one that we preached. Or he says, another spirit, not the one you received. And he says, another gospel, and not the one that you received. He says, and when you do, he says, and with sarcasm, he says, you bear it well. Shame on you. You get a shame on you. 2 Corinthians 11:13 says this, says, for such men are false apostles, deep fakes, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. They're everywhere. No wonder, for even Satan masquerades as an angel of light. The world is being prepared for the premier pretender, the colossal counterfeit, the one who will deceive the masses. His coming was predicted long ago, and his profile is registered in the scriptures. Listen to Isaiah 14:12-17. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, Halal ben Shakur, son of the dawn, you have been cut down to the earth. You who have weakened the nations, but you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Listen to this. I will make myself like the Most High. That's scary, isn't it? There's your deep fake. There's your artificial intelligence. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you. They will ponder over you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble? Who shook kingdoms? Who made the world like a wilderness? He deceived everyone. Who overthrew its cities? Did not allow his prisoners to go home? That's all well and good. That's the end times. That's the prophecy for the end times. But Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, he's already at work now in this world, using AI to counterfeit I am. In 2 Thessalonians 2:9, it says, that is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. Wow. A deep fake Jesus who will deceive all but those who live on the word, and with the exception of those who accept no substitutes. This is a warning to those who will remain on the earth after the exit resurrection occurs. It's not going to affect us, except in our daily walk. Matthew 24:23, Jesus says, then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ. They're going to show him to you. Here he is. Or there he is. Don't believe him. For false Christs, fake Christs, and false prophets, fake prophets, will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. So if they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness. Come out here, we'll show him to you. He's in the wilderness. Do not go out. Or behold, he's in the inner rooms on a computer. Do not believe them. We're told in Revelation that the Antichrist will use virtual imagery or AI, creating avatars, don't really exist, to create fakes, deep fakes of Christ, who will tell the masses to follow the great leader who is the Savior of the world. And he's nothing but an Antichrist hologram. Revelation 13, verse 15. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast. The image of the beast. So that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. They'll kill you if you don't. And he causes all the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. If you don't have a right hand, everybody has a forehead, or you wouldn't be around. So you could put it on your forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man. His number is 666. These things, being in development preparation now, will be seen when they are finally implemented. And the greatest deception that has ever perpetuated or perpetrated on earth, that was ever perpetrated on earth at that time, even as it is at this time, the only antidote for this grand deception of AI, artificial intelligence, or another Yesu, is I am, the person of Jesus Christ, who is the truth personified, who is the Word of God, the source of absolute truth, the source of all truth, absolute truth. Accept no substitutes, no counterfeits, no deep fakes, virtual presentations from very appealing and persuasive speakers who may not even be real people, but only images brought to life by AI to disinform, deceive, and destroy in league with Satan. It's a coming. Who is preparing the world for the greatest deception that has ever occurred, and by it to rule the world. Now, don't think that you can go and tell all of your unsaved friends and relatives about this. For you only confirm what they already think about you, that you're insane. But should they inquire about AI, or if they should inquire about I am, by all means engage them in conversation, but bring them along gently. So, that's our message for this evening. But if you're listening tonight on Sermon Audio, know that this message was mainly for believers who have a modicum of understanding, but I also have something for you. The real and true person of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay for your sins and rose from the dead to prove there is life after death and to show us what it looks like. It looks really good. It looks oh so good. His resurrection guarantees that all who believe in him will be like him, truly like him, and will live with him forever. Therefore, according to Romans 10, verses 9 through 13, whoever will confess with their mouth, that is to God, not to people. People always say, oh, this verse means that you got to confess to the guy sitting next to you. No, you don't. He has nothing to do with it. You confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. I told you, you have to believe in Christ. He's the only God to encounter this side of eternity. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes, resolving in righteousness, a gift of righteousness, which qualifies you for heaven. And with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in the free gift of eternal salvation, the free and irrevocable gift of God, which is eternal salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him, in Christ, will not be disappointed. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, Jesus, will be saved. You can pray and say, God, I'm believing in Jesus as God and Savior, and by doing so, as you promised, I'm receiving the free gift of righteousness and eternal life that Christ died and rose to give me. Thank you for showing me your salvation. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all of these things that we looked at this evening, and we see how these things will unfold in history, what remains of human history. We are indeed in the end times, so may we be ready at all times to give an answer to anyone who asks us for the hope that lies within us with fear and trembling, with respect, and with all dignity that is magnifying the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, telling of his wonderful works to anyone who will listen to us. So, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your body, the church. What a privilege it is to belong to the body of Christ. And also, finally, we pray for the offering. Bless the offering. Use what is given to glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sing, Judy.